Well, welcome again to Military News. This is Bob Mallon bringing you today's stories. Thank you for joining me. The first story from our favorite website, militarynews.com, entitled, Marine Family Wants Safety Security Improvements After Child Dies in Military Police Response to Gate Breach. Published by Military.com, Patricia Kimi, April 5th, 2024. Ready for family fun at the beginning of President's Day weekend in February, Marine Gunnery Sergeant Max Frost, wife Aralee, and the couple's three sons, Riker, Liam, and Colton, headed to the base bowling alley in 29 Palms, California, only to find it closed. Calling an audible, they decided to head to town to go toy shopping and pick up supplies for the family's pet hermit crab. As they approached the busiest intersection on base, Frost saw a green light and began to proceed through the intersection, never seeing the military police vehicle speeding toward the family. If the car had its siren on, the Frosts never heard it. The sport utility vehicle broadcasting the family's Dodge Grand Caravan, shattering its windows, exploding the airbags, and spinning the van nearly twice around. Obviously, this collision was deadly. When the caravan finally came to a rest near a pole, Liam was crying, Colton was in shock, and Riker in the third row was not moving. His head slumped over at an unnatural angle. Ariel crawled through the twisted metal to reach her gravely injured son. He did not have a pulse. There was a corpsman who helped me triage him, Max Frost said during an interview. He said he was cyanotic. I asked what that was. They were already preparing us that he might not make it. Riker and Liam were airlifted to the Children's Hospital in Loma Linda, where Liam would recover from his injuries, but Riker 10 would not. The Frost family had given time to say goodbye, and on February 18, their joyous, happy-go-lucky son, who loved Star Wars, the beach, sports, painting, and music, died. If the asphalt at the intersection could tell a story, it would say the military police driver never hit the brakes. Friends returning to the scene later found no traces of skid marks. In the weeks following the crash, the Frosts learned that the military police officer was responding to a report of a suspected breach of the installation's Condor Gate, a small security shack that stands sentinel between the sprawling Marine Corps Air Ground Combat Center and the Mojave Desert. A similar incursion had occurred just over 5 months before at the Condor Gate. On September 22, a trespasser breached the gate, was apprehended, and subsequently released off base. Shortly after, the suspect then breached the main gate, resulting in the discharge of a firearm at the suspect's vehicle. And just this week, the Condor Gate made the news when another alleged gate runner, identified by a Customs and Border Protection agent as a Chinese national, trespassed onto the base. The Frosts say that with the September incursion, the base provost marshal office should have instructed security improvements and stepped up training for those responsible for preventing breaches to ensure the safety of the nearly 50,000 people who live and work at what is, by area, the world's largest Marine Corps base. Following the loss of their son, they want it done right now, this upgrade. In the weeks following the September incident or the week following our accident, there was no enhanced security measures, Arleigh Frost said. We would like them to build the infrastructure to immediately decrease the possibility of people to just blow through the gate. According to Arleigh Frost, at the Condor Gate, which is near a housing complex and an elementary school, the barrels of sand meant to thwart errant vehicles are not filled. The gate arm is left open nearly around the clock, and the attitude toward security is lukewarm at best. We'd like them to at least publicly acknowledge what happened. There's a housing area right there, and all these gate runners are going right by their homes, and families need to know that safety is being compromised. Officials at the Marine Corps Air Ground Combat Center said the accident remains under investigation, and there is no new information available at this time. Second Lieutenant Christian Floyd, an engagements officer with the Marine Corps, referred all questions to the Naval Criminal Investigative Services. Darwin Lamb, a public affairs specialist at NCIS, said that out of respect for the investigation process, NCIS will not comment further while the investigation remains ongoing. Our deepest concerns go out to the family of the young boy, Lamb said in an email to military.com. The Frosts say they understand the investigative process and a desire for the base officials not to interfere or exert influence on the ongoing investigation, but also say that to not issue a press release or discuss the security issue that we have occurred on base is wrong. I want whoever is responsible to come out and just acknowledge what is for us such an obvious problem, Arleigh Frost said. In September, the Wall Street Journal reported that more than 100 Chinese nationals have attempted in the last several years to access U.S. military installations and other critical government sites. Those include attempts to forcibly gain access to Fort Wainwright, Alaska, and illegally entering Naval Air Station Key West, Florida, to take photos. Shortly after the Wall Street Journal story ran, Pentagon spokesman Major General Pat Ryder said, "The security of our installations remains a top priority, and that physical security standards for our bases takes into account a wide variety of potential threats, to include attempts spying by our adversaries." He added that a recent review by the Defense Department focused on the physical security conditions of installation gates. According to Ryder, more than 10,000 controlled turnarounds occur each day at the U.S. military, roughly 1,400 gates worldwide. Of those, he said, a very small number warrant additional checks, and even a smaller number warrant an investigation. In other cases of gate breaching that often involve suspects fleeing from law enforcement or from traffic accidents, Air Force security personnel fired shots at a driver who crashed through the main access point at Joint Base San Antonio Camp Bullis, Texas, and a Navy petty officer died at Joint Expeditionary Base Little Creek Fort story in Virginia when a driver tried to run the gate and hit a base security vehicle. Arlie Frost said the couple would like to see the threat protection level increased at all Marine Corps installations, as well as improved training and instruction of responders across the board. What type of culture puts it in the PMO's mind that he thought going through the busiest intersection on base in the middle of the day without yielding to the red light or using caution was a good idea, Arlie Frost said. With such topic memories at every corner of the 29 Palms installation, the family was given a transfer to their previous duty station at Camp Pendleton, California. Max Frost, who had been serving with the Tactical Training and Exercise Control Group at MCAGCC, had nothing but praise for his unit's response to the accident and is particularly grateful to his commanding officer, Colonel David Hart, who actually witnessed it. I've never been as proud to be a part of TTECG, sending them into action after the accident. The amount of support they've given us is unreal, Max Frost said. The family will never stop grieving their beautiful boy, who was described in his obituary as the embodiment of love, humor, bravery, and intelligence. But they hope that his legacy will be to improve safety and security on Marine Corps installations. We do not want anyone else in this Marine Corps family to go through something like this. Our son's legacy and honor was one of laughter and joy, and we don't want this lack of oversight to take that from anyone else, Arlie Frost said. Now, Patricia Kimi, who wrote this article, focuses on military personnel and veterans issues for military.com, reporting on health care, military families, justice, and benefits. She has covered military issues for decades, reporting on combat-related illnesses and injuries, the Defense Department, and the Department of Veterans Affairs. Her full bio is online. The next article from military.com is headlined, "The Navy Fires the Head of Its Only South American Command." How interesting. Published by military.com, written by Konstantin Toropin, published April 5, 2024. The Navy has relieved the commanding officer of its only command in South America, a statement released by the service announced on Friday. Captain Abigail Yablonsky-Martyr, the commander of the Naval Medical Research Unit South, was relieved by Captain Franca Jones, the commander of the Naval Medical Research Command, due to a loss of confidence in her ability to command. According to its website, NAMRU South operates at the Peruvian Navy's flagship hospital base in Callao, Peru, as well as a naval clinic in Iquitos, and at the invitation of the Peruvian Navy to address shared health science issue researches. The command also runs a small laboratory located at Sotocano Air Base in Honduras. Martyr is at least the sixth firing of a Navy commander officer in 2024. Navy officers have previously said the Sea Service relieved 15 commanding officers in 2023. There are currently around 1,600 commanding officers in the active duty Navy across all communities. the Navy's statement did not offer any more information about why Martyr was removed from leadership outside of the border plate statement, quote, loss of confidence. A Navy official told Military.com that the relief was performance related and not tied to her conduct or behavior. Terms the Navy typically uses to describe commanders being relieved for behavior such as drunk driving. According to a now removed biography, Martyr's Navy career began in 1996 as a labor and delivery nurse at Naval Medical Center San Diego. She also served in hospitals in Japan and Virginia. She went on to earn a master's degree in 2007 and a doctor of philosophy degree from the University of Virginia in 2015. Prior to taking command of NAMRU South in July 2023, Martyr was a deputy commander of the Naval Medical Research Command, where she oversaw 8 research commands and more than 1,300 staffers. The biography says that she is a board-certified family nurse practitioner. Her awards include 2 Meritorious Service Medals, 3 Navy and Marine Corps Commendation Medals, and 2 Navy and Marine Corps Achievement Medals. The Navy statement said that Commander Michael Prouty will stand in as the acting commanding officer until a permanent replacement is named. Meanwhile, Martyr will be temporarily reassigned to Naval Medical Research Command. The next article from Military.com, Yellen says U.S.-China relationship on a more stable footing, but more can be done to improve the ties. Published Associated Press, Fatima Hussein and Ken Moritasugo, April 7, 2024. Dateline, Beijing. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen sent a message of mutual cooperation at a meeting Sunday with Chinese Premier Li Qiang, highlighting the improvement in relations since her visit to China last year, while recognizing that major differences remain. After focusing on trade and economic issues for the first 2 days of her visit, Yellen returned to the broader U.S.-China relationship in the meeting with Li, one of China's top leaders. While we have more to do, I believe that over the past year, we have put our bilateral relationship on a more stable footing, she said, in the ornate Fuhan room of the Great Hall of the People on the west side of Tiananmen Square. Yellen, who is regarded favorably by China, is the first cabinet member to visit since Presidents Joe Biden and Xi Jinping met in California in November in a carefully orchestrated meeting to set the troubled relationship between their countries on a better course. Li, in remarks before the media, before their meeting, said the high media interest in Yellen's visit shows the high expectation they have, and also the expectations and hope to grow. The U.S.-China relationship is the goal. China's emergence as an economic and military power has created a rivalry with the long-dominant United States. The U.S. has restricted China's access to advanced semiconductors and other technology, saying it could be used for military purposes. China, still a middle-income country, accuses the U.S. of trying to constrain its economic development. At their meeting, Lee told Yellen that China hopes the U.S. won't politicize economic and trade issues and overstretch the definition of national security. The official Xinhua news agency reported this. Yellen came to China with trade practices that put American companies and workers at the unfair competitive disadvantage at the top of her agenda. Chinese government subsidies and other policy support have encouraged solar panels and EV makers in China to invest in factories building far more production capacity than the domestic market can absorb. While this has driven down prices for consumers, Western governments fear that capacity will flood their markets with low-priced exports, threatening American and European jobs. Buttley argued that the development of the green energy industry in China would make an important contribution to combating climate change, the Xinhua report said. The U.S. and China on Saturday agreed to hold intensive exchanges on more balanced economic growth, according to a U.S. statement issued after Yellen and Chinese Vice President He Leifang held extended meetings over 2 days in the southern city of Guangzhou. They also agreed to start exchanges on combating money laundering. It was not immediately clear when and where the talks would take place. As the world's two largest economies, we have a duty to our own country and to the world to responsibly manage our complex relationship and to cooperate and show leadership on addressing pressing global challenges, Yellen said. Relationships were at a low point when she visited in July in the early stages of efforts to improve ties. China had cut off talks on a range of issues in anger over a visit by then U.S. Speaker Nancy Pelosi to Taiwan in 2022. Tensions were further inflamed by a Chinese balloon that traversed America in early 2023 before being shot down by a jet plane. In that context, Yellen's visit in an attempt to build on a fragile stability that has been tentatively established. The end of her trip will overlap with a visit by Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov on Monday and Tuesday that was announced by China's foreign ministry on Sunday. China's sharp rise in trade with the Kremlin has necessitated itself since Russia's invasion of Ukraine in February 2022. While China does not provide weapons to Russia, the U.S. has expressed concern about China's sale of items to Russia that can have military as well as civilian uses. During a press conference on Saturday, Yellen addressed the U.S. relationship with China on the subject of Russia. We think there's more to do, but I do see it as an area where we've agreed to cooperate and we've already seen some meaningful progress, she said. They understand how serious an issue this is to us. Yellen met Saturday with Beijing Mayor Yan Wang and told him that local governments play an critical economic role from boosting consumption to addressing overinvestment, adding that Beijing is particularly important in China. I believe that to understand China's secondary economy and primary economy and its economic future, engagement with local governments are essential. Last Saturday, Yellen met with students and faculty at Peking University. Next, we come upon an article from military.com headlined "Lancelot, an aging B-1B bomber, is being pulled out of retirement and going back into service." Published military.com by Thomas Novelli, April 5, 2024. Air Force maintenance teams are pulling a decommissioned B-1B Lancer bomber out of the boneyard and plan to put it back into active duty service to replace another Lancer that was damaged in a fire. The resurrected aircraft, nicknamed Lancelot, was retired to the 309th Aerospace Maintenance and Regeneration Group at Davis-Monthur Air Force Base in Tucson, Arizona, also known as the Boneyard. Almost 3 years ago, it was retired, according to a photo caption of the aircraft in a news release. The decision to dust off Lancelot and get it back into service was made following an April 2022 incident at Dyess Air Base in Texas, in which another Lancet caught fire during routine maintenance. The base said at the time, an accident investigation board said the fire caused nearly $15 million in damage to the aircraft. There is a congressional mandate to have an operational Lancer fleet of a certain size, but Air Force officials opted to recommission the entire retired bomber instead of restoring the damaged plane, given the extensive and expensive repairs that would have been necessary on the damaged aircraft. With projected repair costs to fix the fire-damaged aircraft expected to be cost prohibitive, Air Force officials elected to regenerate Lancelot, the service said Thursday in a press release. A team with members from the 309th AMARG Dreyfus 7th Bomb Wing and Tinker Air Force Bases 76th Expeditionary Depot Maintenance Flight and 569 Egress Flight has been working to put Lancelot back into service, according to the news release. They got the retired Lancer into a flyable state so it could make it to Tinker Air Force Base in Oklahoma, where it will undergo more repairs. The B-1B airframe has been in service with the Air Force since the mid-1980s. About 80 are still left in the fleet, which is divided between Dyess in Texas and Ellsworth Air Force Base near Rapid City, South Dakota. Each of the bombers is valued at approximately $317 million, according to service fact sheets. The long-range bomber hasn't been nuclear-capable since 2007. The United States element... The United States eliminated the nuclear mission for the B-1 in 1994, the fact sheet detailed, even though the Air Force expended no further funding to maintain nuclear capabilities, the B-1 was still considered a heavy bomber equipped for nuclear armament until 2007. Between 1994 and 2021, the latest available data from the service officials recorded a total of 29 Lancer-class A mishaps, the term used for the military's deadliest and most expensive incidents, in which 11 people died. More recently, on January 4, a B-1B on a training mission with a crew of four crashed while trying to land at Ellsworth with another Lancer. The first bomber landed successfully while the second crashed. All four crew members safely ejected and received medical care. The runway was closed for a month while, due to the damage, and some Lancers and crews were temporarily relocated to Dyess Air Base in the interim. In 2022, the Air Force unveiled its latest bomber, the B-21 Raider, making the first new bomber in the American military's fleet in more than 30 years. Officials are hoping it will eventually replace both Lancer and B-2 Spirit bomber sometime in the 30s. The Pentagon plans to acquire around 100 B-21s, more than the Air Force current B-2 and B-1B Lancer fleets combined, with an average unit cost for each bomber at nearly $7 million, according to a service fact sheet. Next, we have a rather interesting article from military.com. Veteran prescriptions for addictive ADHD drugs are not being properly vetted and tracked, the watchdog says. Posted military.com, Kelsey Baker, April 5, 2024. Department of Veteran Affairs prescriptions for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, more commonly known as AHHD, should be made together to obtain in the future, according to a new report by the VA Inspector General. Let's get into that a little deeper. The Inspector General found the VA providers aren't always documenting patient assessments prior to providing the stimulant drug used to treat ADHD, such as brand name drugs Adderall and Ritalin. In some cases, they are relying on the patient's self-reporting without even conducting an assessment. For veterans, there is a high risk of abuse and addiction to the prescribed drugs. Stimulants such as those used to treat ADHD are classified by the Food and Drug Administration as Schedule II drugs, the same category as fentanyl and oxycodone, and are tightly regulated and not recommended for patients who struggle with alcohol or substance abuse. The Inspector General, the agency's independent watchdog, recommended that VA primary care providers refer patients who may be ADHD medications to mental health providers before writing prescriptions, as well as checking for other conditions that could be confused with ADHD symptoms. There's no generic or biological testing available for ADHD, meaning a medical provider's assessment is the only method of diagnosis. Within the VA's healthcare system, the number of patients with an ADHD diagnosis increased almost 60% from 2018 to 2022. That is, from almost 70,000 patients to nearly 111,300. During the same period, VA stimulant prescriptions rates for ADHD patients jumped 53% from almost 41,000 to nearly 62,500. According to the Mayo Clinic, adult ADHD symptoms start in childhood and can include problems such as difficulty paying attention and impulsive behavior. It can contribute to challenges at work and in relationships. Troops may have higher rates of ADHD compared to their civilian counterparts, though military service can be a benefit for those with ADHD, since rigid structure and routine exercise can help stave off symptoms. So can caffeine, for that matter. Many vets who received an ADHD medication also often have other pre-existing conditions, such as anxiety or depression, according to a 2020 study of ADHD. Medication prescriptions practices in Kentucky VA healthcare region, symptoms of anxiety and depression can be mistaken for ADHD. The same study also noted a trend of stimulant prescribing inconsistencies. The practice of prescriber hopping, in which patients get the same medications from multiple providers, and unsupported ADHD diagnosis. In many cases, patients use the stimulus for off-label uses, such as weight control, depression treatment, and performance enhancement. Military recruits with recent documented histories of ADHD are still largely barred from enlisting, thanks to the complicated rollout of the MHS Genesis medical record system, which has unnecessarily flagged some results for childhood conditions such as ADHD. The recommendation to tighten stimulant prescriptions within the VA also comes as the U.S. has entered the second year of shortages for ADHD medication caused by supply chain and manufacturing issues, as the supply of ADHD medication has decreased, the nationwide demand has ballooned, leaving many people without reliable access to the drug. The author, Kelsey Baker, is a graduate student at Northwestern Medical School of Journalism and a former active duty Marine. She can be researched at x@KelseyBaker. Next, we come across an article headlined, Coast Guard Army Corps Brief Biden on Baltimore Bridge Collapse During Visit. Published Associated Press by William Weissert, published 8-5-2024, Dateline Baltimore. President Joe Biden got a first-hand look Friday at efforts to clear away the mangled mess of remains of the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, as cranes, ships, and diving crews work to reopen one of the nation's main shipping lanes. Aboard Marine One, circling the warped metal remains of the mass of construction and salvage equipment, trying to clear the wreckage of last week's collapse, Biden got his first up-close view of the devastation. On the ground, he received a briefing from local officials. The U.S. Coast Guard and Army Corps of Engineers on the situation in the water and its impact on the region. Biden also greeted police officers who helped block traffic to the bridge in the moments before it was hit by the ship, which helped divert an even more huge disaster and loss of life. I'm here to say your nation has your back, and I mean it, Biden said from the shoreline overlooking the collapsing bridge. Your nation has your back. 8 workers, immigrants from Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, were filling potholes on the bridge, when it was hit by a huge cargo ship and collapsed in the middle of the night on March 26th. Two men were rescued, but the bodies of only two of the six who died have been recovered. The president met Friday with the families of the victims near the bridge, the White House reported. The damage is devastating and our hearts are still breaking, Biden said. Officials have established a temporary alternate channel for vessels involved in cleaning debris. The Army Corps of Engineers hopes to open a limited access channel for barge container ships and some vessels moving cars and farm equipment by the end of this month, and to restore normal capacity to Baltimore Port by May 31st, the White House says. That's important since longer delays in reopening shipping lanes could send shockwaves throughout the economy. As much as $200 million in cargo normally moves through Baltimore Port every day, and it is the leading hub for importing and exporting vehicles. More than 50 salvage divers and 12 cranes are on the site to help cut out sections of the bridge and remove them from the key waterway. Officials told Biden they had all the resources they need to meet the targets for opening the channel into Baltimore Port once again. Biden also announced that some of the largest employees affected by the collapse, including Amazon, Home Depot, and Domino Sugar, and they have committed to keeping their employees on payroll until the port is reopened. That news followed days of outreach by state and federal officials to try to mitigate the economic impact of the incident. From the air, I saw the bridge that had been ripped apart, Biden said. But here on the ground, I see community that's pulled together. But it is still unclear how much the cost of cleanup and building a new bridge will be covered. The Federal Highway Administration has provided $60 million in quick-release emergency funds to get started. Exactly how much the collapse will cost is unclear, though some experts estimate recovery will take $400 million and about 18 months of time. Biden said within hours of the collapse that the federal government will pay for the entire cost of reconstructing that bridge, and I expect the Congress to support my efforts. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell likened the bridge collapse to assistance that flows after natural disasters, and saying the federal government will step up and do the lion's share of funding. But authorization is likely no slam dunk from Congress. The White House announced Friday it is asking Congress to authorize the federal government to cover 100% of the collapsed bridge and the cleanup and to the reconstruction costs, rather than seeking funding through a separate emergency supplement request from Congress. We are asking the Congress to join us in demonstrating our commitment to aid in recovery efforts, the congressman wrote, though it is still unclear exactly how much money the administration will need to cover those costs. But some hardline congressional Republicans are already lining up to demand politically controversial offsets for the funding. The conservative House Freedom Caucus issued a Friday statement saying, if it proves necessary to appropriate tax money to get one of America's busiest parks opened online, so be it. Congress should ensure it is fully offset and that burdensome regulations are waived. It was referring to potential federal spending cuts elsewhere and to regulators like the Endangered Species Act. The caucus's letter also suggested that approval for bridge recovery funds be tied to the Biden administration agreeing to lift a pause it has imposed on exportation of liquefied natural gas. The funding question only serves to heighten the collapse political implications as Biden squares off with former President Donald Trump in November's election. In the second major disaster along the country's busy northeastern hub in as many years, last summer an overpass along Interstate 95 in Philadelphia caught fire and collapsed after a tanker struck, slammed into it. Federal and state officials moved quickly on temporary repairs and ultimately reopened this section of the highway faster than expected. But the cleanup and repairs in Baltimore will take far longer and be far more costly, making the chances of it being a net political positive for Biden, especially in time for Election Day, far murkier. That hasn't stopped the Biden administration from championing anew a $1 trillion plus public works project that cleared Congress in 2021. The bridge collapse also has thrust into the national spotlight Maryland's Democratic Governor Wes Moore, 45, a leading voice in Biden's reelection campaign. Efforts to energize young voters on the 81-year-old president's behalf. He accompanied Biden on the helicopter tour of the damage assessment during his briefings and introduced the president before his speech. The president himself has traveled the country showcasing construction projects on highways, bridges, and tunnels. In 2022, he arrived for an event in Pittsburgh just hours before a bridge nearly collapsed. Promoting the public works project also had allowed the president to lean into his love of train travel and many years commuting to and from Washington on Amtrak as a Delaware senator. Besides himself, noted had been over the bridge about 1,000 times, commuting from Washington to his home in Delaware, prompting the State Department Transportation to comment he claims to have done by train, but no train tracks have ever run on this bridge. Well, gang, that's about to wrap it up for this event. This has been Military News. My name is Bob Mallon. Our favorite website is military.com. And we hope you've gotten some enjoyment out of this week's news headlines and reading. I look forward to again talking to you next time. Be kind to each other, and we'll talk again soon.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.